Good morning. Today is the 1st of July. Yipes.
Already here.
Hey, it's New Year for you, huh?
Yep.
Did you celebrate yesterday, last night?
If we could close the New Year in the county,
what does that mean?
Oh, we'll get into it.
All right. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
And Happy New Year.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see if we can get, you know, there was one of these here that really kind of, it was law enforcement based.
Oh, good.
But I don't know if I used it already. Yeah, I probably did. Shouldn't spend too much time looking for it. All right. I've got a real easy one for you. Why do beavers build dams?
To protect themselves? As a prophylactic?
That's right.
As a prophylactic?
That's, you know, their guns sometimes get wet. And they A beaver's home called a lodge is built on an island of mud, stone, and twigs. And to keep out unwanted visitors, it's built with an underwater entrance. If the structure were built on a regular pond, the lodge would be flooded in the rainy season, and the water rises and might have its entrance exposed during the dry seasons when the water recedes. To prevent this from happening, beavers build dams downstream of their lodges to keep the water at a constant level.
Oh, so I was right.
Sure, you just keep on going thinking that way. Oh, geez. So you got some money from the governor, huh?
Well, I mean, it all depends. There's always strings attached,
yeah,
you know, when it comes to the state. You know, that's the problem with the state providing money to the counties or the you know, law enforcement purposes.
So it wasn't just for more staff?
You know, no, not necessarily. You know, the state provides us, but it always has to do with programs or something that we have to do. And so there's never a blank check that says, you need more deputies, here's money for your more deputies. It's like there's going to be a program tied to it. It's like you have to do some kind of education. It's going to be towards mental health. It's going to be towards homeless outreach. It's going to be towards this. And essentially, we're having a tough time even keeping up staffing to do regular patrol functions, let alone
doing
some specialized.
Is that compensation or is that just less interest in the career field?
It is both. Compensation is big right now because we're competing with all the other law enforcement agencies in Northern California.
So you know, what kind of range do you start your guys at?
Right now, we start out about $25 an hour, and they top out at $32 an hour.
Okay. We get lost in that. I can't do that kind of math.
Yeah.
What does that mean annually?
So about $75,000 a year.
And
you know,
the benefit package included in that?
No, that's just salary. So when you're talking benefits, you know, they're making over $100,000 total compensation. So that's their retirement, that's their medical, vision.
The whole nine yards.
The whole thing. So, but
that's fairly attractive in a lot of the rural areas.
You would think so, but you know, with the amount that these guys have to work. You know, they are working 12-hour shifts right now, emergency 12-hour shifts. They're working nights, weekends.
4-12s?
They're working essentially 4-12s.
Okay. So they're getting overtime in that.
They're getting overtime every week. They're working nights, weekends, holidays, and we're holding them over. You know, if you have something at the end of the shift, we work shifts basically 6 to 6. 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.
So either daytime or nighttime?
If there's a call that comes in at 5 a.m., their deputies are on it. And if it's a domestic violence call, they're hanging over another 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, you mean they don't pull off it when the bell goes off?
They don't just punch a card. You know, they finish that call out. So your 12-hour day is now a 14-hour day, and you got to be back to work that next night. So it's not ideal. Ideally, you know, we'd love to have our people on a 10-hour shift. That's what they're...
Is that kind of industry standard?
That's industry standard. Actually, what we've agreed to in the past. But the fact is that we're in emergency staffing issues pattern, and so we have to have, you know, essentially just 4 shifts through the county. You know, 12-hour shifts.
Now, do you hire guys out of the academy?
We see less and less people putting themselves through the police academy anymore because, you know, the people that have jobs and families and responsibilities can't give up income for 6 months. So we're actually paying people to go through the academy. And so we had.
So they come to your door. They get your blessing.
Yes.
Then they go to the school.
Yes, we pay for them. They're called deputy recruits, and they go through the academy, and they get essentially about $20 an hour to go through the academy.
So, with no education debt at the end.
Right.
So what happens if they have the Hansel Papstein experience and they're going through school and go, you know, boy, that's really attractive, and now we whip out into another career path.
Right.
Yeah, it might be related.
Right.
You know, it could be, let's say, office or, right, let's say, parole or, right, or something, sure, like that. What happens then? Do you shift them over? Do they pay you back? SOL? I mean,
you are SOL. So there is no obligation. There's no contracts. Back in the 90s, LAPD tried to do that. They had they signed a contract. It was a $60,000 contract. And over a course of 5 years, you pay down your contract. And so you don't owe the city anything. There's people as part of their union that fought that. And that provision went away because they felt it was unfair for the worker to enter into a contract where, you know, they had
to honor the agreement.
Yes. So working for government, you can't do that, essentially. So we are having faith.
That in and of itself explains a whole lot.
Yes.
If government doesn't have to honor their contracts.
Well, and government can't create those contracts for their workers, essentially, is what, okay, I think the court ruling, basically stated.
So I got close. I got about as close, yeah, as you did to beavers and dams. Yeah.
Almost right. But that's the issue, is like reinvesting a lot in people. And, you know, we had about five people in the academy that just graduated, and already two have left. So now we're down to three.
Left the department to another department, or
left the career. So a couple weeks on the training program, and that's it. So now was five. Now we're down to three.
So did they just realize that it wasn't for them when it became real?
Yes. And because, again,
you touch them earlier in the process? And
we
say,
do.
Hey, come on along. You know, let's do a ride.
We do. We do. That's a part of they're required to do a ride along every month. I mean, we go through a strenuous process to hire people.
So what changed on them?
It is the stress of the job. It's doing it.
Actually being responsible.
Right.
Bullets in the gun, the whole nine yards. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Well, if the governor wasn't forthcoming with his surplus, was the county forthcoming with theirs?
That's a great question,
$50
Brian.
Million? Dollars? The libertarian in me says, okay, we're going to cut sales tax. We're going to get it back to the people that paid these dollars, set aside $5 million,
right,
$10 million for surplus contingency. Okay, fine. Set that aside. Maybe $25 million for roads and delayed infrastructure repairs.
Right.
Deferred maintenance, I think, is the magic phrase.
Right.
Okay. And then you got a chunk of money that's sitting there that could be used for something.
Yes.
Not personnel, because that's an ongoing cost.
Right.
But other one-timers.
Right.
Maybe everybody on the same computer platform or,
right,
you know, whatever it is to build in some of these efficiencies so we benefit for the next 20 or 25 years.
Right. Yes.
If next year is the same way, okay, fine, right, then we get crazy. But a one-timer, it's got to be like, you know, pennies from heaven.
Yes, and the county did do that. They're still in an issue where they haven't closed out the previous year. Okay, here we are.
I thought it was
new
the previous year's year.
Yes, previous year's year. So here we are in the new year. So now we have two budget cycles that haven't been closed out. Obviously we have until, we're supposed to close out the budget in by October 1st.
About a year ago?
October 1st is when they're supposed to kind of close things out and get things buttoned up. And by the end of that first quarter, you're supposed to have an idea of how the previous year was. So was there some expenses, things need to be tied up, or was there some, you know, some surplus?
Just a better sense.
Yes. But and so the county, you know, was did do okay financially last year. They have money.
Okay.
14,
what alphabet are you looking at?
14, okay. 15. Well, we don't know until we get the previous year closed out, right? And so, but it's $14 or $15 million surplus is what I believe it was initially. And
then the largesse from the higher ups.
Yes. And so there's still obviously a trickle down from the state and the federal government. And so what are they going to spend that money on?
Trickle down economics doesn't work.
Trickle-down.
Isn't that what we've been hearing for decades? Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, the deal is that there's a lot of things that, you know, there's a lot of delayed or deferred maintenance that the county hasn't, you know, done with the
facilities. So what would – if somebody said, okay, not people, let's say $5 million just as a number out of the sky.
Right.
Where would you put it?
Immediately into mental health facility. That needs to happen within our county.
Physical structure.
Our Semper Virens is something that doesn't, it's not conducive to the current environment. And so, honestly, the biggest draw here within our county is mental health services.
Attraction?
The biggest, the need as far as public safety goes. So we are dealing with mental health issues every day out there in the field. And so essentially, you know, I was just talking to Connie Beck yesterday about this whole issue. With mental health and substance abuse disorders, a lot of times law enforcement doesn't know. Is this a mental health issue? Is this a substance abuse issue? Because people are just spiraling out of control on the street.
But it is a criminal issue.
Can be a criminal issue if they are causing, if they have, you know.
Outside the law.
If they're outside the law, if they have, you know, violated the law, you know, we can pursue that way and then take them to jail and then they receive some mental health services while they're in custody. But if they just do a misdemeanor, they're not staying in custody. They're giving a citation after they spend a short time in jail, and then they're back out on the street.
The breaking the windows, the yes. attacking people, but not
stealing
hurting them
than,
too bad.
Stealing less than $1,000.
All that stuff is like cite and release?
It's cite and release because, again, the state has realigned, you know, all of the state prison people that should be in state prison now are doing county jail time, taking up our beds, and so we don't have the space to house those misdemeanors.
Is the same thing occurring in all of the counties in our neighborhood?
Yes. The same thing. There's certain.
So nobody in the region basically is being held accountable for stuff that they ought to be held accountable for.
Right. So small counties.
Regardless of their mental state.
Right. Small counties are having a very difficult time keeping up because we are housing a lot of the state prison inmates.
So the state just turning its back on us?
Well, they're saving a lot of money by having us house them. Luckily,
but if the job isn't getting done, normally don't you go in and say, okay, now I'm going to take care of the job? It has to get done, right?
Yes. And the other thing is the state needs to start looking at this as far as long term. They're looking at closing state prisons down. And you know what? They shouldn't be doing this. They should be looking at expanding.
Could they convert that into a mental health facility?
They could for state prison inmates, absolutely. So the facility in Lassen County, you know, which is
Susanville.
Yeah, Susanville, I don't know how many beds they have there, but there's quite a few. And, you know, they could turn that into a facility that does, you know, still house people. We still have people that need to go to state prison. We're 40 million people. Yeah, we lost population last year, but people are still committing felonious crimes that need to spend time in state prison and get services while they're there, get mental health treatment while they're there. The shutting down of state prisons is not a good idea. Once you shut something down, you can't reopen it. You can't, you know, you have to build it, and you have to build it to current standards, and, you know, it's going to cost the county more money, or the state, excuse me.
So are we just frogs in the pot? And it's just been getting warmer and warmer, and we're not noticing it?
Well, absolutely. Haven't
you
seen?
To accept what we have as normal is a bizarre thought for a lot of us.
Well, we've already done that. People aren't calling anymore for the people that are on the street that are having a mental health episode. It's just a part of being, you know, driving through the towns now. You see it, you'd respond, you don't even respond to it. So there's very little that, you know, is improving in that aspect.
All right. We'll see what we can do when we come back. It's 8:30.
Okay.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 836. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. So the surplus from the county, you got a couple of bucks. A couple of the other guys got some monies also, I guess, after. Was the budget approved?
Yes, budget was approved on Tuesday.
Okay, so things are looking positive.
Yes, it is.
Okay. With Humboldt States, with the fiber optics, with the fish farm.
Yeah.
Maybe with the windmills. Okay. There's going to be a change. Whatever it is, it yes. obviously is going to be a change.
Right.
Is local law enforcement ready for the change? Is the criminal justice system ready for the change? I mean, you talked about the mental health stuff. Well,
right.
we haven't reacted to that in the last 30 years.
Right.
So I don't know why we would be preparing and be ready for anything else if we can't handle what's already happened.
Right.
In a cohesive, logical,
right.
compassionate approach. Nah, let's let them wander the streets and scare everybody and keep business out of the area and let tourists take that message home. I mean, it just doesn't seem the way to do things.
Yeah.
Are you sensing that there might be an attitude change either from department head levels or the community or somebody that's going to turn this into a really positive?
Well, I hope so. You know what? I think educating people and seeing that, you know, the failed drug policies of the state has caused a lot of the issues on the street. You know, when they say, oh, it's a mental health issue, well, let's turn it back. This is a substance abuse issue. A lot of the times these people have substance abuse disorders. They're taking methamphetamine and heroin, all sorts of things that are creating the mental health problem. And so when you look at the failed policy of the state in Prop 47 and 57 and not holding people accountable, that's the real issue where people got to wake up.
Is there a groundswell?
I think so. I was just talking to some people the other day about this, and they didn't realize this. Like, when you look at this,
they didn't connect the dots.
They were thinking, well, again, this is misinterpretation of what the initial, you know, legislation was about being safe streets and safe schools and all this other stuff out there that they were trying to
almost
push.
Got you, huh?
Almost,
that was
man.
Almost
I'm
a dad moment.
I'm telling you. But when it comes down to it, it's like there's nothing safe about our streets right now when it comes to people under the influence of drugs. The only thing that holds people accountable is when you have a prison term or jail term over their head, or you take their children away for, you know, violating these crimes.
Consequences.
There's consequences and accountability. And so it's like at that point in time when someone's in jail, you know, that's the point in time when they have an opportunity to say, listen, I need to take a different path. I'll go into rehab now. I don't want to go to prison. I need to do something that can change my life. When you give someone a slap on the wrist, when you give someone another probation term for violating, you know, being under the influence of drugs on the street or possession of drugs on the street and have no consequences, they're going to continue in that same path.
So what is the actionable? You've got, I don't know, two or three people listening to this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've never been good with math, by the way.
Right.
So yeah,
two or three.
Yeah. What would you suggest? I mean, what?
Yes.
Who do you call? I mean, at state level, they don't seem to be responsive because, you know, somebody pulls a string and everybody votes that same direction and what
right.
have we got? Yeah. So okay, fine. It's not going to be at the state. It's got to be somewhere else. Is it the supervisorial level? Is it people calling your
sure.
office and you say, look, I've had 2,500 people call me. This is a big deal. Where do these frustrations and energies best get focused?
Great question. Starts local, okay, all the way up through the state and federal government. So you start with your city council, your board of supervisors, your state representatives, the governor, and your federal representatives. They all need to hear it because they all have
But will
this,
any
this...
of them, will they hear it? I mean, if we call
it's
pick our local rep. It doesn't matter which one. You get staff.
Right.
Okay, and maybe they are sympathetic, and maybe they're not. You know, they're in a position to do filtering. I mean, you know, they're just not going to be parroting everybody.
Right.
Okay, so now you're running into those individual predilections also. And I don't know, when was the last time the congressman was in town or anybody else that wasn't for either a press event or a fundraising event?
Right.
I mean, just a regular, hey, I'm going to be at Carson Park this weekend. Anybody want to swing by? We got Rex's Barbecue, and we're going to have you know, some burnt meat and some salads, and let's just talk about whatever's on your mind.
Right.
There are things that
I
would like to think you or I might do if we were in that position.
Right.
Well, I guess you are in that position.
Yes. You know what? I think it is. It's also talking about the local leaders as well as people a part of you know, the influencers in the community, right? And whether they're on the left or the right, you know, it, getting those people educated on what's going on here. And, you know, they need to really speak with people like that are in the Teen Challenge program, that are at the rescue mission, part of Betty Chin's, or a part of probation in the drug court. Some of those success stories that says, yes, it took accountability in order for me to actually make a decision.
But that takes effort.
It does.
And
they
I don't think the community
right.
at this point, I mean, we're mad.
Right.
We're frustrated. We're scared. But are we motivated? Yeah, it's tough to be motivated when you're protecting the moat.
Well, people just continue on to point, you know, and say, this is the problem, that's the problem, right? You know, if they're just space in the jail, we could just do that. If there was, you know, a mental health facility, it's like it's much bigger than that. And it has to be an attitude on the state level. You know, accountability needs to be there on all levels. If accountability is gone, then we don't have society in general. And people
so this it really isn't a rural county issue that can be solved at the rural county level?
It cannot. This is a state. This is a statewide issue. Whether
do the suits have the juice to go up and to put pressure on if they pressure?
Yes, they can call their state representatives. Absolutely. They can look at, you know, things like CSAC and change their attitude on certain things and make them be influential.
Oh, really? CSAC isn't even behind regional mental health?
Well, I mean, yeah, mental health is one thing, but as far as, you know,
facilities
yeah. state prisons, you know, drug problems and holding people accountable for possession of drugs.
All right, here's your million-dollar question, and we'll go to the break. Is there a list of those representative groups in California that are in favor of regional mental health facilities? Somebody that we could go to and go, oh, okay, those guys are on board. We don't need to send them a thank you letter rather than a, hey, you need to pay attention to this letter.
I don't know if there's a list or not. Okay. I'm not sure.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. All right, so we've kind of whipped up on this thing a little bit. We got a couple of ideas during the break that, you know, it may surface down the road. You've got a new building, potentially.
Yes.
Also.
Yes.
Parking lot that's being used. When that footprint is starting and those parking areas are no longer available, any idea what that's going to do to the neighborhood parking for your employees? Is there going to be another lot purchased? Are they going to be able to have extended parking on the streets? Are you going to have people running out every 2 hours like it used to be downtown retail?
Right.
What are you looking at functionally when that happens?
Yeah.
What does happen to the immediate area?
Yeah, so things are going to be locked pretty tight. And so we initially, when the project was going forward, we initially did a parking study with the city, and we were told that all the parking lots in the surrounding area could support, you know, within a 3-block radius of the courthouse, all of the functions of the courthouse. So if we took that dirt parking lot away, and we're even taking away J or K Street, between 4th and 5th, that's going to be for construction only. So that road's going to be shut down as well, and that parking's going to be along the road.
Eight parks when you're done. Yeah,
right. But so that's going to be a significant footprint, and so it's going to cause some issues, especially now when the city's talking about taking away some of those city parking lots to build some apartments. You know, that's definitely going to have. Our A63 project is just now getting off the ground. We're going out to bid on a contractor here real soon. And so we hope within 2 years, you know, that it'll be built.
When do you lean on the shovel for the picture?
Within 6 months, I hope.
So by the end of this year?
Yes. I'm hoping probably February.
Well, then it probably is going to be in your rain slicker.
Yeah. Yes. We hope it's going to rain.
Yeah. And about an 18-month construction?
Yes.
And that's not going to relieve any of the stuff we've talked about with any significance.
Well, there are some things that we can work through. Right now, it's a step-down facility with a certain amount of mental health beds. So people, as they're transitioning from the correctional facility out to a probation program, so it's going to be...
That's more like living skilled stuff. You're not talking about the guys and gals wandering the streets now, talking to the birds and stuff.
No, but there's things that we can do within that facility. Once it's built, I think things could happen where we could, you know, look
at
redefining
it. So there's some flexibility in there? We hope?
I'm not talking that way, but yes,
yeah,
there is.
Okay. Are there any other jails in the region that are going to see construction or expansion?
Trinity County now has got the same project going, and they are just about finished with theirs. So they had a jail expansion project, jail construction project, so they're adding a certain amount of beds. Now,
what do they project? Are they going to be – I mean, when you think of a lot of criminal activity in Trinity County, typically it's about growing dope, and now I guess it's illegal.
There's all crime in Trinity County, absolutely.
So 299 goes back and forth, you know, from the valley. That's one of the arteries where they may – pick off some of the people that you're having to deal with?
Sure. Yeah, they do that. Yeah,
and hold on to
sure.
them instead yeah. of just, you know, tag them and let
yeah,
them go.
Yeah, absolutely. So they've had an old facility over there, so this is going to modernize a lot of the things that they do in Trinity County. It'll be good for them.
So you're pretty excited for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's good. Tim Saxon's the sheriff over there, and he does a great job, and he's, you know, he's proud of his facility that they're building.
Well, it's got to be tough being next door to Reading, too.
For sure.
And all the challenges there.
There are so many resource issues there. I mean,
let's go hide in Trinity County. Well, it's a lot easier to do than it is in the middle of Reading.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, good. Yeah. At least there's a little bit of positive stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, so we have 4th of July coming up.
That's right.
So we do want people to celebrate responsibly. Okay. So the mortars and the illegal fireworks, you know, we definitely want to keep those away. We have drought. We have high fire conditions this weekend. So please do not, you know, light off illegal fireworks.
So what you're saying is do what Chris Edmonds has been saying to do?
Yes.
Is that kind of, you know?
For sure. We need to be safe. Don't jeopardize our county by shooting off illegal fireworks. It's not worth it.
Yeah, don't be stupid.
Please. Please don't.
So, you know, that might be a good bumper sticker.
Don't be stupid.
Don't
humble.
Be stupid.
Don't be stupid.
Humble. Boom, and there's your logo.
There you go. All right. Sounds good.
See, I could solve some things
for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
At least get some bumper stickers out there.
That sounds good.
And on the back side, stick it to Billy. See everybody tomorrow.